Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Monday, January 15th, 2024, 6 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Martin Luther King Day. Cold, frigid across the state of Wisconsin as the Arctic blast has settled in. Mr. Zommers, have you been staying toasty and warm?
I sure have. I did go to the Badgers basketball game on Saturday.
Oh, big win, by the way.
Well, we took the bus.
Oh, very good.
We did not drive because that would have been a terrible idea.
Well, yeah. But the Badgers got a huge win over Northwestern, who was number 2 in the Big Ten. The Badgers remain undefeated in Big Ten play, the only team to do so. 5-0 now in the Big Ten.
It was really fun.
13-3 overall, and the new timely indeed, as Mike Lucas would say, your comments, because the new Associated Press poll has just been released over the break. The Badgers up to number 11 in the country.
So close.
They're almost to the top 10, but doing great. And you can continue to hear the Badgers all season long right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Several stations, including WRCE in Richland Center, also Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin Rapids, and Amory, all carrying the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball games. If you don't live in one of those communities, we got you covered as well. Simply download the Civic Media app. You can do so on your iPhone or Android device. And you can stream the Badgers. Just go to one of those stations that I mentioned. My favorite one, of course, WRCE and Richland Center, News from the Center. But Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, any of those, just click on it. It works like a charm. And you can listen to the Wisconsin Badgers as they continue to roll on through the Big Ten. Very exciting season. It was exciting last night, as we said at the top of the show in hour number one, the Green Bay Packers, also heard on several Civic Media stations. Because of NFL restrictions, we cannot stream the Packers on the Civic Media app. But boy, what a game. The Packers get a big win over the weekend and advance to play San Francisco on Saturday as they beat up on the Dallas Cowboys last night. So much fun. And I want to play you a cut of something because I'm a big Anderson Cooper fan for a lot of reasons, but he's a great news person. And he was recently in Wisconsin last week doing a story, apparently, for CNN. And he had to fly through Chicago to go back to New York. And so I'm not sure which of he was in Green Bay or if he's in Madison or Milwaukee. He was in one of the Wisconsin airports. And he thought, you know, I just don't want to be bothered. And so he has a very distinct white hair, a very distinct look. And so he thought, well, I'll buy a baseball cap to kind of cover up his appearance so people kind of leave him alone. He told this story on CNN. Here's Anderson Cooper's experience when he picked up a Packer cap.
I was in Wisconsin this weekend at the airport, and I didn't have a hat, so I bought a hat. Turned out to be a sports hat, and it was some team that I guess was playing another team. And then I was in Chicago, and everybody, and the whole reason I'm wearing the hat was so that, you know, I cut down on interactions, and the hat made all these people come up to me like, oh, we don't have you people here, the supporters of that team.
I wonder if it is on our logo in number 3. Let's see if we have a third logo.
Yes, that's the hat I bought this weekend. It had a G on it. What does that mean?
Green Bay Packers.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that means.
It was what they showed on camera on CNN was the logos for the Packers and the Cowboys previewing the game from yesterday. And Anderson apparently is not a big NFL fan. And so he had no idea what he was doing. He just picked off a hat and it turned out to be a Green Bay Packer hat. And then he flew through Chicago and heard a lot from the Illinois fans.
All right. Okay. Anderson Cooper, come on. Like, I can understand not knowing it's a Green Bay Packers hat if you just have nothing to do with sports. Mm-hmm. But not knowing it's a sports hat?
No, he said it was a sports hat.
Well, he said turns out it was a sports hat. Some team. And I'm like, well, you look at it and you see some kind of logo. Like, I could get it if it was a Dallas Cowboys hat because that's just a star.
Right, right.
But the G is very distinctive and clearly a sports team.
You know, I just think he's not probably a sports dude, and he just saw a cap and he thought this will work, whatever. He was probably, I don't know, he's working on international stories, Anderson Cooper is.
Probably had a lot going on in his head, and you know what? I respect that.
But I thought it was fantastic. You know, just out of the blue, by
the... Oh, yeah.
And now I hope that Anderson Cooper is a Green Bay Packer fan, like most Americans should be.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. The Packers play San Francisco, the 49ers, on Saturday around 7:15. You can hear that game on select stations right here on Civic Media, Richland Center, amongst them on WRCO 100.9. And remember, unfortunately, we cannot stream that game because of the NFL rights. Also happening today, and by the way, later in this hour, I want to make sure we get this in here, around 1:45-ish, he is very busy, but he has carved out a few minutes for us, and we really appreciate it. Around 1:45, Dante King, who is an author and professor, is going to be in. He has been debunking this ridiculous Republican Charlie Kirk story. They're trying to attack Martin Luther King, saying he was not a good guy, saying that this is all part of some master plan revolving around diversity, equity, and inclusion.
What, to let Black people have jobs or whatever?
I don't know. It's, in all seriousness, I think what's becoming clear is we've seen this in Wisconsin with Robin Voss attacking diversity, equity, inclusion, which we know goes far beyond racial or ethnic inclusion. It goes to inclusion for veterans of wars or just veterans in general. It goes to folks that have accessibility or disability issues. It goes for non-traditional students. If you're talking about colleges, but Republicans are trying to divide us, MAGA folks trying to divide us and make it all about ethnicity. And so this is a part of a larger picture that Republicans, MAGA Republicans, are trying to drive home to folks, is that somehow it all began with Martin Luther King. Particularly sick and disturbing to do this on Martin Luther King Day, a national holiday, of course, as a... If you've never been there in Washington, D.C., a fantastic memorial as well. So we'll talk to Professor Dante King. I don't believe any relation, but we'll ask him, I guess. Dante King coming up about 1:45 later on in this hour, talking about MLK. Other big story today, the Iowa caucuses coming up later tonight. Our very own Crudy and Dom are on their way down to Iowa. Hopefully they are traversing the roads carefully and easily. They will be doing the show, Devil's Advocates, live from Iowa, as preparing to cover the Iowa caucuses down there. As we said at the top of the show, Donald Trump way out front, according to a new Des Moines Register poll over the weekend. 48% of Republican caucus goers picking Trump. Nikki Haley, former U.N. ambassador and governor, now sitting in second place at 20%. Ron DeSantis falling to third place at 16%, and Vivek Ramaswamy bringing up the rear at 8%. So I want to put this a little context again, bring you some cuts of Trump over the weekend. It went from kind of the goofily hilarious to the sick and disturbing. One of the ridiculous things is he's trying to equate having an ID to vote, voter ID, to go into the grocery store. Let's just listen. Here he is, the Trumpster in Iowa over the weekend.
You know you have ID for everything, right? You go to the grocery store, you have ID. No matter what you do, you have ID, except for voting, which is your most important thing. No voter ID. When you
go to the grocery store, you have ID.
I have two questions for this man. Number one, have you ever voted? Because you do need an ID.
Right.
Number two, have you ever been to a grocery store? Because you don't need ID.
I guess that, like, you know, I go to Metcalf's a lot here in Madison, and like a lot of places, a reward card, so you can either put in your phone number or something you scan, but you don't need an ID to get one of those. They just say, hey, you want one?
And that's you it. Just need a phone number, right, or an email. I don't even know if you need both.
Right. So this whole notion that somehow you need a photo ID, a government ID to go to a grocery store, that's just bananas, right? And Mr. Zomers is right. You need a photo ID in Wisconsin to vote. And I got no problem with that, by the way. I'm fine having an official ID to vote. My issue is then putting on further restrictions on that. And I don't want to get into that right now. But I got no problem with a basic photo ID to vote. I think that's fine. But then it kind of takes a turn from the Trumpster. And I think this is important because a lot of people say, well, you know, Donald Trump is an aberration. Well, Derek Van Orten, Wisconsin's 3rd District Congressman for the western side of the state, left Wisconsin. By the way, he doesn't spend a lot of time here. He's either in Washington, D.C. with the insurrectionists on January 6th, or he's over in Israel trying to play Secretary of State.
Going on a secret mission that he came up with.
Yes, or down in Iowa, apparently. So he's down in Iowa, Derek Van Orten, pledging his loyalty to Donald Trump. And a lot of people think that MAGA folks are on the fringe, all right? But here's what Donald Trump said in his own words in Iowa this weekend.
And left-wing globalist Wall Street, millionaires and billionaires who crave to destroy the MAGA movement. People are not happy with MAGA because MAGA's taking over. MAGA's, you know, when they, you hear the fake news when they say, well, MAGA represents 44% of the Republican. No, no, MAGA represents 95% of the Republican Party. Whenever you hear this stuff.
The Trumpster is saying that he believes that MAGA represents 95% of the current Republican Party. Do you believe that? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go down to Stoughton. CJ in Stoughton. CJ, hope you're staying warm. What do you think on this Iowa caucus evening? Do you agree with Donald Trump? I know you've said on the air you're a card-carrying Republican. Do you believe that 95% of the current Republican Party are MAGA?
That believe make America great again? Yes. Whether they're Trump supporters. See, I'm voting Republican. Mm-hmm. Either one, any of them, is better than the alternative on the other side that we're living right now, Todd. And, you know, it's pretty sad because, you know, if you really look at what is going on in our world today, and we've talked about it, but as far as voting goes, it's already allowed in some states for illegal immigrants.
That's simply not true, CJ. I'm sorry, I have to fact check you. That's not accurate information. Come back with more actual information and truth on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you'd like to join the conversation on the Iowa caucus, I can't really say eve because it's Iowa caucus day, but caucuses are weird in that it doesn't happen all day long. It only starts at like 7 o'clock. It's a very narrow window that you get to caucus. 844-967-2789. Played the cut for you shortly just before the break. Donald Trump over the weekend in Iowa claiming that MAGA Republicans represent 95% of the current GOP. Agree or disagree? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Mike on the phone lines. Mike, thanks for listening in. What say you?
I just wanted to tell you, they do need an ID in grocery stores when you buy beer. That's the only thing you need. But
well, all right, that's a fair point, Mike. I appreciate that.
It could have been that's what he was thinking.
I'll give you that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Appreciate you listening in. Sure, if you're going to buy beer or tobacco, sure, of course you need an ID. But that's not what Trump said. He said if you go to a grocery store. So, I guess if we're being lenient here, giving him the benefit of the doubt, okay, fine to buy beer or liquor or cigarettes. But otherwise, don't need a ID anywhere to go shopping in a grocery store. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Tim, listening to us up in beautiful Eau Claire on WCFW, the tap up there in Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. Tim, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, about these book bans in, I don't know if anybody saw, but the wonderful Bill O'Reilly just had some of his books banned down there, and he is just wild about it. They never think about that it might turn around and bite them.
Well, that's a good point, Tim. I did not see that. I did see late last week that somewhere in Florida they banned the dictionary because it explicitly said what the definition of sex was. And they were afraid that would technically violate the Florida book ban, so they took the dictionary off the shelves. That's a real thing. I know Jay Matt Nair on the Air, which comes on before us 10 to noon, she was talking about this last week as well. So, yeah, you never know when it's going to boomerang and bite you, right, Tim?
That's right.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789.
And yeah, it looks like the Florida Freedom to Read Project obtained a list of books banned, including two of O'Reilly's books, Killing Reagan, The Violent Assault That Changed the Presidency, and Killing Jesus, A History.
Well, there you go. I want to turn to something that is very serious, literally deadly serious here, and extraordinarily disturbing. And this is going to kind of tie into what we're going to talk about, what Republicans, MAGA Republicans in particular, are peddling today on Martin Luther King Day that's particularly disturbing. And this is Trump over the weekend in Iowa talking about immigration and what he has to say in terms of people who are immigrating to the United States.
The snake, that's our border. We're taking in people from prisons. We're taking in people from mental institutions. We're taking in murderers and drug lords. We're taking in people that are very, very sick with diseases that will be spread all over our nation.
So he continues this narrative of poisoning the blood, making people sick. And if you want to know why he's talking about this, what the purpose is, let's look, as our friend Matt Flynn would say, which comes on directly after our program, at history. Now, Nazi propaganda often portrayed people persecuted by the regime as vermin, parasites, or diseases. Nazi ideology focused on the idea that Germany's racial purity was under attack from, quote, the blood of weaker peoples, unquote. And Nazi propaganda often depicted Jews, political opponents, and others as parasites that threatened the overall health of the so-called, and here's the actual German word, Volksgemeinschaft. All right? It was during the years of the Nazi regime that German doctors argued that Jews spread diseases, reflecting common threads in Nazi propaganda. Medical professionals repeatedly pushed the false, let me say it again, false claim that Jews were responsible for outbreaks of typhus, a deadly contagious disease spread by lice. So this whole thing by Trump of calling people vermin, immigrants vermin, poisoning the blood right out of Mein Kampf from Hitler, trying to scare Americans that, oh my gosh, if someone comes across the border that doesn't look like you, watch out. They're bringing disease and sickness. And we've seen it in reporting. Watch this morning on CBS Mornings, Tony DeCoppel in Iowa talking to, I'm not sure how old she was, 60-something or 70-something-year-old white woman on her doorstep in Iowa, admitting on camera that she was fearful of immigrants because they weren't going to conform to our culture. Those were her words. She's scared. And why is she scared? Probably my guess is because she doesn't know anyone who's non-white, or she's never taken time to get to know them, never gotten taken time to get to know an immigrant. And she's listening to the Trump folks, the MAGA folks, and right-wing media. Fox News, OWN, all these things. It's a sad day in America when the leading candidate for one of the two major parties in America is using hate and fear in order to win, and specifically to divide us. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Mark from the SAC. Mark, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, well, there's nothing new about that. This language. I mean, this language is dating back, you know, thousands of years in some cases. And I mean, when the Black Plague, you know, hit Europe. I mean, they're blaming the Jews for it then. I mean, it's just ridiculous that it doesn't get called out by the media. I mean, they're just condemned by the media, both on the right especially, that they're not condemning it out of hand. I mean, the moral cowardice on the part of some of these Republicans now is just, it's shocking. And for you, a former Republican, it must be doubly shocking that you think that your former party has declined so far that they're too cowardly to actually call Donald Trump out for what he is, for the language he's using, and calling out how dangerous this language is. Because the fact of the matter is that some, you know, that they're using this language about, you know, that Eastern Europeans or Catholics coming from, you know, from Europe, you know, during the early 20th century, and Irish back in the 19th century.
Mark, it's actually worse. I'm up against the clock. Sorry about this, my friend, but it's actually worse than that. Republicans are not only not calling him out, they're endorsing him. More on the other side, including what's worse. Don't go anywhere. The Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tom Lavelle Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yes, it is MLK Day, Martin Luther King's birthday here on this 15th of January, 2024, on a Monday, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we will be joined by author and professor and Dondre King talking about MLK Day and what the Republicans are trying to do to distort Dr. Martin Luther King's record and what he believes in. So Dante King coming up a little bit later in this half hour. He's a busy guy, Mr. Zomers, and we're looking forward to having him join us when he is able. Want to do a couple of things now. Before we go any further, want to just bring your attention to a story that we'll talk maybe a little bit more about tomorrow. But I wanted to mention this to get it on the record, so to speak. It was, and it goes to what we were talking about before the break, this ongoing narrative, and it ties into MLK Day, this ongoing narrative by Republicans to divide and conquer based on race, ethnicity, and what we don't know or don't understand. A very disturbing story over the weekend that did not get a lot of coverage. It was broken by CBS News, having some great Latino reporters on the ground in Texas, rather. A woman and two children drowned in the Rio Grande on Friday while trying to enter the United States near a section of the southern border where the Texas National Guard soldiers have prevented federal border patrol agents from processing and rescuing migrants. Again, I worked for a member of Congress back in the 90s, worked with military officials, worked on military affairs. It also did immigration as well, by the way. I will tell you that federal border patrol, federal agents of any time kind, always take precedent over state military. It's just the way the chain of command works, by the way. So federal border patrol agents were not allowed to either process or rescue migrants trying to come to the U.S. Federal officials and a Texas congressman said National Guard soldiers deployed by Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott did not allow Border Patrol agents to attempt to rescue the migrants, Texas officials denied the claims yesterday. Earlier this week, the Texas National Guard soldiers abruptly seized control of a public park in Eagle Pass that Border Patrol had been using to hold migrants, marking the latest escalation in an intensifying political and legal feud between Abbott and President Biden over the U.S. border policy. I get it. Abbott's trying to score political points here. All right. Just the way it is. But to do so at the literal lives of migrants trying to come here, to let a woman and her two kids drowned in the Rio Grande while you watched, to score political points, and also to undermine the chain of command in federal military, does not seem particularly compassionate nor American, in my opinion.
No, but it seems about right. And it also fits with any policy changes being put through or attempted to be put through, even if they're bipartisan efforts for immigration reform, well, get shut down because they're like, well, Biden's in office, he'll take credit. So no, we'll solve this later when we have a Republican in office.
And to your point, and we reported this last week, that a deal had tentatively been reached by Speaker Mike Johnson on the Republican side in the House and Democrats running the Senate, as well as Republicans, quite frankly, to find a budget deal. Over the weekend, the Freedom Caucus, including Derek Van Orden of Wisconsin, squashed it.
Of course.
Said, we're not going along with it. Why? Because it would help Biden look better. Because they basically agreed on how to move forward on border protection policy. But the Republicans in the House refused to vote for it because it might make Biden look good going into this election year. And so and now they're looking at doing a continuing resolution in order to keep government funded. So again, scoring political points. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. There has to be a point in this country, in this state, but in this country as well, where we're going to at least acknowledge we can't let people die in order just to score political points. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Ron in Milwaukee. Ron, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hey, yeah, I saw that over the weekend. Heather Digby Parton, who's a historian with a
regular... Heather Cox Richardson, great author, great reporter.
I'm sorry. Yep. Sorry. Dolly Parton.
That's fine.
Anyway, you're right. Had a piece in her daily report covered that extensively. And another take on it, which I haven't heard from anybody, but I thought of this, is that in a way, the Texas governor is sort of mounting an insurrection against federal power. Maybe not the federal government per se, but he's saying, you know, okay, so we have laws that say here's the chain of command. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to just do what I want because I can do it because I'm the state of Texas. And I would call that insurrection 2.0.
Ron, really appreciate the call. Only going to turn your volume down. There's a bad connection there somewhere. It got a pretty bad click in your connection, Ron. But thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. I mean, again, this Greg Abbott guy, he is all in it for himself. He's one of these people who are putting migrants onto planes and buses and sending them to places like Denver, Colorado, and Chicago, and New York. And we've heard from these mayors, the Denver mayor, the Chicago mayor, say, look, we will deal with this, but to not give us a heads up and tell us these people are coming and just literally put them on the street in today's temperatures, that is simply inhumane. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Jim in Turtle Lake. Beautiful Turtle Lake, Jim. Thanks for calling in. What say you?
Oh, I just, on a different subject than immigration, I was just wondering why when Trump threatens judges and defies and threatens, puts all these threats out, Mm-hmm. Why isn't he locked up for that?
Well, that's a great question.
Because if I did it or you did it, the cops would be on our door and we'd be locked up if we were threatening federal judges.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jim, and stay warm up there in Turtle Lake. Great question. I have a feeling that our friend Matt Flynn will address this in his show coming up after the 2 o'clock hour of Matt Flynn Direct. We'll talk about it. It's one of those things I had just, we only have so much time in the show and wasn't able to get to it in depth today. But yes, over the weekend, Trump calling out federal judges, both in word and online, once again. And there's going to be a breaking point where and Matt's talked about this on his show too. You don't want to stoke violence or protest, whatever, by saying, look, the guy is a former president of the United States, whether you like it or not, you have to kind of respect the office. But then what's going to happen in terms of, you know, just following the law and the Constitution? So these are all things that we got to consider. Again, my feeling, my guess is Matt's going to talk about this on his show coming up after the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. It is 1:43 right now, and we are joined, and we appreciate it so very much, by our next guest today on the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this MLK Day, by a wonderful author and professor as well, Dante King. He is the author of a book called The 400-Year Holocaust. Dante is an assistant professor of medical education at the Mayo Clinic College of Medicine and Science. He also serves as guest faculty at the University of California San Francisco School of Medicine and has taught courses for the Stanford Medical School and Johns Hopkins. Professor King, thank you so very much for being with us on this MLK Day.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Great to be with you.
Well, it's great. And I know you're a busy person, and we appreciate you taking the time out to enlighten us. And I'd like you to give us some context here from your research and knowledge of what's happening right now by this guy, Charlie Kirk, former congressman, a right-wing guy, who has been a part of MAGA and other people. They're attacking on the very birthday of Dr. King, his legacy, and basically saying that we should undo the Civil Rights Act of 1964. What's the play here, and where did this come from?
So it's more a belief system than just a political play. And I think we have to bring in to view people such as Albert Einstein, who said back in 1946 that white racism was an illness, a sickness, essentially, that white people suffer from. I think people like Charlie Kirk and white people who believe like him, who believe that the Civil Rights Act should have been undone, that black people should not have been afforded civil rights, human rights, and would rather see black people in slavery, such as Donald Trump just suggested a few weeks ago, we need to investigate the functionality of that belief system, and also the obsession that people like that have with whiteness, because essentially what they're saying is that this country should have remained branded a whites-only country, beginning with the Naturalization Act of 1790, and then all of the state level laws and statutes that were then enacted after that, along with court rulings such as Plessy v. Ferguson, the ruling that was established in 1883, which outlawed public accommodations for black people. They come from that vantage point. And so I don't think that there's any sensible logic amongst people who believe and think in those ways.
A couple of minutes before we got to take a break, we'll come back on the other side. But as a former Republican, I left the party in 2011. But I think it's just fascinating and sad that guys like Charlie Kirk and people like him really don't understand the history of the Republican Party, because it was Republicans back in the 60s that helped Lyndon Johnson actually pass the Civil Rights Act in 1964.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And also, too, to understand just the mere suggestions of all of that these rights should be undone, and that the implication is that white people are only the only people who are deserving of rights and opportunity in this country. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to understand, there's another scholar by the name of Dr. Bobby Wright, who wrote a collection of papers in the 1970s around the psychopathic racial personality. And he said, you know, there are white people function in ways where they are psychopathic to Black people. And essentially that there's no compassion, there's no empathy, and there's no morality when we are discussing the way that anti-Blackness functions and that white supremacy functions amongst and within the collective white race.
I want to come back because I want your opinion on this and your research and your writing. You know, I grew up in a town of 5,000 people. It was 99% white in Southwest Wisconsin. And it wasn't until I had friendships with people of color in college and became close friends that really I grew as a person. I think that the more that we're exposed to just friendships and relationships of people who are different than us, that helps us grow. And it seems like in today's world, Trump and the MAGA folks are just preying on that, the fact that there's not an understanding between people. What's your feelings on that about a minute before the break?
I absolutely agree. I myself went to diverse schools. I participated in activities where there were different people from different racial, ethnic backgrounds, different gender, and when we consider, you know, people with abilities, people suffering from, you know, challenges with abilities or disabilities, you know, there were a lot of people, different types of people present in my upbringing, and I benefited greatly from that. I agree with you. But I think that we have to understand that the ways in which whiteness and white supremacy have been trained in to establish the ideas that people are, that they set the standard for humanity, that they are deserving of opportunities, and that they are superior, we have to investigate the deeper challenges that exist there, because there is a psychological dysfunction. I absolutely believe that.
We'll come back and talk to Professor Dante King on whiteness, how it's kind of trained in there, his research and findings, and talk more about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King on his birthday this Monday, January 15th, 2024. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd O'Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd O'Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from national news, a check of weather, and our friend and colleague Matt Flynn of Matt Flynn Direct will take over these airwaves, taking us to the front lines of history being made every minute of every day, as Matt likes to remind us. It's the Matt Flynn Show, Matt Flynn Direct, immediately after our show. Speaking of front lines of history, our guest this half hour, Dante King, who is a professor and also an author of the book called The 400-Year Holocaust, talking to us on this Martin Luther King Jr. birthday. Again, Professor King, thank you so much. Any relation, by the way, or just a coincidence?
Just a coincidence.
But a great name. We appreciate that. So tell us, before the break, you're talking about the kind of how this whiteness is kind of ingrained in us and gives us prejudice sometimes when we might not even realize it. What have you found in your research?
Absolutely. So if we look through the colonial period, there are laws that provide Europeans, the English, and then others that they group with amongst themselves that they then establish as white, where they're giving rights to people to essentially murder Black people without any consequence, with impunity. We see that in the Casual Killing Act of 1669. We see that in an act of suppression and runaways and other runaways in 1672. We see that in 1680 with an act preventing Negro insurrections. And then when we look at more recent history in the mid 19th century, you have Congress giving all white people in America the right to police Black people under the Fugitive Slave Act. And that law read that if white people suspected, whoever white people suspected was a runaway slave, they would have permission to police them and to essentially question their whereabouts, whether they should be in a particular place at any given time. When we look beyond that, you then see the Dred Scott in 1857, where the Supreme Court says that the Black man has no rights, but that the white man is bound to respect. And then when we look beyond that, for example, in Cruikshank v. United States in 1876, and then United States v. Harris in 1883, you literally have the Supreme Court giving white people across this country the right to go out and murder and lynch black people. And so how dare we as black people try to enforce rights that were given to us through the 14th and 15th Amendment, because white people psychologically, and I think that this nature and functioning still exists with us today, they don't see us as equal. How dare people who have been considered less than us for hundreds of years now consider themselves to be on par? Mm-hmm. And I think that people just have not, that this nature, it's not just systemic racism, it's a nature and a culture that was developed through legal and social relations, through, yeah.
It would seem to me, Professor King, and, you know, obviously as a white person, I can't have the same perspective that you or any other black person or person of color would have. But from my perspective, you'd have to be living under a rock to say that we've reached equality between all ethnicities. It just isn't going to happen. But now it's not just the black people. It's also, we talked about this in the last segment, this new wave of immigration and this hatred and division towards immigrants. Anybody who doesn't look like us, whether it's brown or black or whomever. And it seems that Republicans, particularly the MAGA folks, are preying on this, again, to your point, to put people down and saying that they don't even, we just had the story in Texas where the governor, you know, wouldn't even allow a woman and her children to be rescued from drowning. Like, their life isn't even worth it. And again, I think it's because of fear. I think that it's preying on people that don't have relationships with people of color. Right? Or you agree or disagree?
I agree. And I think that there are perversions and distortions that people carry about people of color, about people who are immigrating into this country. I also know that we've been here before. There's a letter that I share in courses that I teach where you have the governor of, I believe it was Washington at the time, writing to the governor of California in 1921, where they're saying, you know, these Japanese people are trying to come in to this country and they shouldn't be allowed because they're mongrels, they're of an unassimilable nature. Mm-hmm. They're going to ruin our country. And then that leads to the ban on Japanese people and on African people that was passed under the Calvin Coolidge administration in 1924. So we've been here before. We understand this playbook. My concern is that we, you know, this racism, this vile hatred and the fear, the underlying fear and paranoia that undergirds it, this is a psychological problem. It's not just something that you can address by creating a new policy or a new law or a ruling in court. You know, people literally believe in their pro-whiteness. I believe that whiteness is an obsession, as I do anti-blackness. Anti-blackness and anti-non-whiteness in this country concerning white people, most white people that I have encountered, functions like an obsession.
Mm-hmm. To your point of misinformation, I think, in my opinion, Charlie Kirk, the former congressman today, attacking Dr. King's legacy, arguing that the Civil Rights Act, which bars discrimination on the basis of race, ushered in a, quote, permanent DEI-type bureaucracy, unquote, referring to diversity, equity, and inclusion. We've seen that here in Wisconsin. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, forcing the University of Wisconsin system to get rid of a third of its DEI folks, officers, and faculty. It appears that there is this war against DEI, again, to feed into this narrative that you're talking about of fear. And DEI, for anybody who knows, it's part of its ethnicity, but there's a lot more to it. Again, it's attacking people's fears, in my opinion.
It is. It's absolutely attacking anyone who does not measure up to the collective or the perceived white standard of capability, of competence, and really anyone who is not white. Mm-hmm. I think when we understand or we look at the history of DEI or programs like Title VI, Title VII, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, we must understand that prior to those times and during those times, there were literally laws in place that catered to white people, the policies that allowed for white people to fill managerial positions, executive positions. Those positions were off limits to Black people and to non-white people. And so you have these types of programs that are put in place to respond to discrimination, massive discrimination that's taking place through what I refer to in my book as white affirmative action and white sponsorship. And I think when we talk about the diversity, equity, and inclusion issue, we have to also include white people in the sponsorship and the affirmative action that they receive too, and not just focus it on people of color.
Dante King, professor and author of the book called The 400-Year Holocaust. I'm sorry time is short. We'd love to have you back, have this discussion further. Thank you for joining us for this very important day.
Thank you for having me, John.
Really appreciate it. Dante King, author of The 400-Year Holocaust, professor as well. Stay tuned. Matt Flynn is next. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep banging your drums.